Good morning, my name is Keegan Rasko, and I'd like to welcome you to Life Downstream. Life Downstream is a radio show where I, a high school student, and my high school English teacher, Mr. Andrew Morgan, talk to interesting people from around the community about their life experiences and how those experiences allowed them to learn outside of a classroom. And with that, I'd like to pass it over to Mr. Morgan to introduce our guest for today.
We're here today with Brianna Rose Boyd, a junior at Seaside High School. Brianna, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So before the show started, we talked a little bit about your involvement in student leadership. And you were telling us a couple things about the different roles you've played in student leadership over the years. Can you talk to us about what is it about student leadership that's so interesting for you and so alluring?
The thing that I love about student leadership is the ability to be able to talk to everybody at the school. Like, if you're in another position at school, or if you are just, you know, a student in a certain club, or if you're in sports, you don't feel like you can talk to everybody. If you're in leadership, you really feel like you can talk to everyone. And I love the fact that I do sports and I'm in band, so I'm considered like the nerd and the sports kid. So I'm a mixture of both.
So are there times where you find yourself, you're approaching, the president of a club or approaching different student groups and kind of starting conversations by saying like, hey, you know, student government wants to know, blah, 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 blah. Like there are conversations that go in that direction a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of conversations that go in that direction. I also feel like it's nice to go and talk to people and just get to know them. I really love that. I think that's why I went into leadership, is because I love talking to people. Mm-hmm. I love just hearing their stories and getting to know people and having a good relationship with people.
So what roles have you played in leadership over the years? I know you're co-president of the student
ASB,
body
yeah.
this year, right?
Yeah. So my freshman year, I was co-president of my class office. And then my sophomore year, I was co-communications. And while in that position, I was also the student representative for the city of Seaside, their student council, or the city of Seaside's council. And then this year, I'm the co-president of my ASB, and I'm also the one of the two at-large representatives for Oregon Association of Student Council, Student Executive Council.
Can you talk to us about some of the things you're hoping to achieve this year as co-president at Seaside?
Well, the thing is with we kind of did everything already. We've done our homecoming, and then we are planning our winter week. But we always do a global goal, a local goal, and then a in-school goal. And the one that I'm mainly working on right now is the transition, because we have a new school that's going to be done hopefully by the end of end of this year. I think it's in August is when it's going to get done. And so what my group is doing is we're trying to make it easier on the teachers and try to make it easier on the students as well, because I know it's going to be hard for especially me, because I've been at that school my life. My dad has worked there since I was before I was born, so that is like a second home to me, so it's going to be really weird. But to try to make it a new home, and since we're going to be combining with the middle school, that's also going to be strange for us. So working with that.
Yeah. How do you do that?
That sounds like a Herculean sort of task. Like, how are you guys going to deal with that?
So we're not actually moving any of the stuff from the building to the next building. We're working on like packing stuff up, and then we're thinking about doing some big paintings in the buildings, and maybe bringing stuff or taking stuff from the old school and bringing it to the new school. So if it's like, I think one of my teachers is going to take her door because she has it all painted, and like some small things just to remember it by, and then maybe add some new culture to it, do some gardening maybe to make it look nicer.
What are you guys planning on doing to try to have it be a space where there's middle school and high school students in that same area? I mean, I don't know, what's on your radar for trying to make that go smoothly? And
we've definitely been discussing that. It's been kind of an argument lately, because there are some people who really, really want to be separated and it to be middle school, then high school. And there are people, like I would say, I'm really into the fact that we can grow with those people. We can be kind of mentors to the middle schoolers, so that way when they're into high school, they feel more welcomed and that kind of thing. But the only time that the middle school and the high school will see each other is if they're in band or choir, because I think the band and the choir room is at the high school.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the buildings are separate. So I think our plan is just to try to bring them in to, like, if we have our homecoming week, have them do a similar homecoming week, and same with winter week, maybe tie in some things so they feel more involved.
And you guys are geographically separated, right? In this new high school, there's going to be a wing for middle schoolers and then a wing for high schoolers, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then there's only one band room, right?
One band room and then one choir room, which is a lot nicer than, well, we do have two rooms, but for two different schools. So the band and the choir share room at the middle school, and the band and the choir share room at the high school. This year, or this new building, will have a hopefully little bit bigger band room, which will be nice because we have 96 band students in our
band. Bandzilla.
So we are kind of very condensed in that room, so it'll be nice to have two separate ones.
And you're a music student now, right?
I am. I play the flute and the piccolo.
How long have you been doing music?
Since sixth grade is when I've been playing the flute. I started the piccolo freshman year.
Before we talk band stuff, I'm dying to know, you've been doing student leadership for a while now. What do you feel like you've learned from these different roles in student leadership that you've played? I know you said, you know, it allows you to talk to people. You really enjoy that. Is there anything that you've learned from this that you feel like, ooh, I can apply this to other areas of my life now because I've done leadership?
I've definitely learned to not be so spearheaded and not be like, oh, I have to be in everything. I have to do everything. Just to take a step back and be able to let other people take charge and let them do their thing, because I'm somebody who's like, oh, well, I got to be, you know, if I don't do it, it's not good enough. And so I've learned to train myself to take a step back. And that's really going to help me with not only in business when I go off to college and get a job, but also just in general in life, like not to always be in the front of attention, but take a step back.
And OASC is the Oregon Association of Student Councils, right?
Yeah.
And that's all over the state, right?
Yeah.
So you had to run when you ran for that position. You actually had to run for it on a campaign basis in order to get a position, right?
So how it worked is I did an online application, and that was it was for the president position. And I wasn't sure if I was going to get the president position, so I marked on there, if I don't get it, then put me down as running for Northwest. I made it. I was in the top three. So that meant that I was going to the conference, which there are about 2,000 people at that conference, and you do a 3-minute speech and an onstage question.
What was that like? That sounds. I teach a public speaking class right now, and I'm trying to imagine my students in front of 2,000 people. What was that like?
I loved it so much. It was the best experience of my life. I want to do it again.
You weren't nervous?
I was definitely nervous because I ran outside of the convention center before, so I was out of breath when I went to do my speech. But I loved it so much because the first like 10 seconds, I think I would say. I was very nervous and I was like kind of shaking. The rest of it, I was like, oh, I got this. I felt so great doing it. I was like dropping my cards, my cue cards, and I was really getting into my explanation. And then my onstage question, it was an amazing experience.
Do you remember, was there a certain moment, you said 10 seconds, was there a certain moment where you said a line or there was some part of the speech where you realized, oh, wait, I don't need to be nervous. I got this. Do you remember what that specific moment was, or was it just kind of faded?
I was explaining equity and the difference between equity and equality and how I want to have equity involved in OASC this year. And I think the point when I was like, oh, I got this, was right after like my first line. It was right when I was saying, well, the first kid, because I was explaining how, like, there's a baseball scenario of, like, three kids standing on boxes. And so when I started explaining it, I was like, oh, I got this.
Okay, cool.
And what do you think you pulled from that experience that you wouldn't have had if you never got on the stage? Is there something that you found from doing that that you wouldn't have had otherwise?
That I wouldn't mind being a motivational speaker or a public speaker, because I feel like I have the ability. I do get nervous, but I have the ability to grab people's attention, and I love the speaking in front of people. that gave made me more excited than like anything in my life, especially like going to different countries or going to Disneyland. Like that was the thing that I love so much.
And do you feel like now when you have to speak in front of the whole school, do you ever think back to that 2000 person speech and think, oh, I got this. I can speak in front of my school. I spoke in front of 2000 people.
Well, I was just experiencing that because I had a piccolo solo. I had my band concert last night and I was nervous, and I was more nervous for that than I was for my speech. And I'm like, okay, this doesn't make sense. Those were 2000 people. This is only like 100 people, like maybe 200, like besides our band students. But I definitely still get nervous. I think the fact that I wasn't nervous was I knew what I was going to say. I knew a lot of the people would back me up from the audience because I went around and were talking to people. I had people sign my shirt with positive messages before I went up there. And I was just in the most amazing place possible. So it was just easy for me.
Cool. You mentioned band. Let's talk a little bit about band. So you said you play the piccolo. Mm-hmm. How long have you been playing?
I have been playing the piccolo for, I think, 2 or 3 years now. And then the flute I've been playing for like six years.
Do you feel like being in the band has taught you anything over the years? Is there anything that like really studying and practicing playing flute has taught you?
It has definitely taught me to appreciate what I've got, because I worked really hard to get the flute that I wanted, and I keep that really sacred to me. Like, I do not let anybody else touch it. I clean it every day.
Can you tell us about that? What did you have to do to buy the flute?
So I made a deal with my parents. I was like, I really want the open hold flute. I don't want to be using a beginning band flute anymore because I'm getting into high school. I need one. And they're like, okay, well, you're going to need to work for it. And so I...
Because they're expensive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, are they hundreds and hundreds of dollars, basically, if you want a nice one?
I believe this one was $3,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Or maybe I'm getting the piccolo mixed up.
Okay.
They're about the same, which
wow.
was...
That's a lot of money. Yeah. Okay.
It is. And I think we got a deal on it, too, which was nice, but... I wasn't the one who paid for it. My parents paid for it, but I just, like, worked around the house, and I did a lot of stuff, and then I think I might have paid a little bit of it, but it was also, like, that's what I got for Christmas that year as well, too, so it was, like, a combination of many things.
So you feel like now when you play that instrument, you know, you just guard that thing like crazy, and you protect it, and...
Yeah.
I know you said you went to Europe this past summer, mm-hmm. and was that the instrument you traveled with, or you played the
yes,
piccolo?
That was the instrument I traveled with.
Okay.
If I were to play the piccolo, I'd have to play the Stars and Stripes Forever part by memory. And
is
I was
that
like,
really hard? I'm
yeah.
guessing.
It's very hard. It's what they do in like the military bands do.
Okay.
It, and,
yeah. Okay. Tell us a little bit about that trip. What was this your first time overseas?
Yes, it was. It was okay. my first time out of the country.
And you guys went to 7 countries over 16 days.
Yes.
Where did you go?
We went to England, France, Switzerland, Liechtenstein, Germany, and Austria.
Okay. And this was with a massive band, right?
It was with a band of 220, a choir of 180. I was only in the band. And then for every like 7 or 8 students, there was a chaperone.
Okay.
As well.
So. Wow. So what was that like? What were the first couple of days like? Were you just like eyes wide open every single day, staring at everything?
It was amazing. I went into kind of survival mode because you're up in the morning at 4 a.m. some days, and you're, you know, off schedule because you're like, oh, it's nighttime.
You're jet lagged.
Yeah, it's crazy. But the first few days was really cool. We went to England first. We went and saw Wicked. We performed in front of Windsor Castle. It was just really cool experience. Every single day was amazing. I think my favorite country, though, was Switzerland. We stayed in Kranz, Montana. And when we performed, the choir came in for our last song that we sang, or they sang and we played. And it was just... It was awesome.
So what types of concerts were you guys doing? Were these just open to the public? Was it, I don't know. Yeah, tell us about
they
those
were
types of shows.
All outside and okay. open to the public. The only one that was enclosed was in Switzerland, and it was just in a big tent. It was huge, and they had it full with all the people who lived there. It was, they really got into it. They loved it.
Was that the first time you had left the country, or was that, had you done it before?
That was the first time I had left the country.
Wow. Yeah. And so if you had to compare there and here, what are the biggest things that you noticed were different?
How you have to pay for water. I was like, what? You have to pay for water? No way. Wow. And the food is so much healthier. Like, when I came back, I got sick because of the food I was eating here. I was like, I'm eating the same amount of food, and I, like, I don't worry about my weight at all, but, like, I had gained a lot more weight when I came back. Like, I lost weight, and I was like, well, how did that happen? Like, I was eating three meals. I was, like, fully buffet-style like, eating, and it's just the type of food that we have here in America versus how they have overseas. Another cool thing, I guess, of course, the opposite side of the roads for England, that was cool to see.
Did this trip get you thinking about going to other places? You know, like, did you realize that one of the places you went to briefly, you really want to go back and spend a lot more time?
Yeah, I texted my parents when I was in Switzerland, and I was like, I like this better than Disneyland. I might want to live here someday. It was just so peaceful because you go up on the top of the mountains. There's still flowers and green grass. And you're like, how? And
doesn't seem rocks. Real, right?
Yeah, it doesn't seem real. And it's not that cold. We hiked all the way to the top. And it was a very, like, victorious moment for me because I was with a group of guys and a chaperone. And, like, I don't think they expected me to be able to get up to the top because we went, like, a really hard way. And there were guys who were stopping still, and I made it to the top. I was, like, the third one up. And they were like, what the heck, Bree? That's so awesome. It was just kind of a victorious moment. I was like, yeah, I can do this. Like, I got this.
You mentioned Disneyland, and you said, you know, it was even cooler than Disneyland. Tell us a little bit about your connection to Disneyland. When did you first go? Yeah, just talk to us a little bit about that.
So I've gone about, I think, 7 times. It could be more. I've lost count. But the first time when I went, I was super young. I was probably like 5. And then we went with a huge family group or friend group. That a bunch of teachers and that kind of thing. And then I went with my family and all that. But the time that really impacted me was when I planned it myself.
How old were you when you did that?
I think I was like, I was in going into 8th grade, so probably like 13, 14.
So you planned this trip and it was a surprise
for
your folks. Like, your folks didn't know that this was something you were...
Yeah, they
out.
Didn't know. Because I was like, well, what are the odds that they would actually, like, let me go on this trip? Like, they would actually plan it. Because I knew that we wanted to go on a trip, and we had some money saved. So I was like, okay, I'm going to plan this trip, and I'm going to surprise them. And I was talking to my math teacher all about, like, the planning stuff. Because, you know, going into 8th grade, you're not that good at math, so you got to work on it. And I got all the information ready to go, and I presented it to them, and they're like, well, looks like we're going to Disneyland.
Tell us a little bit about, I grew up in New Jersey, and I've been to Disney World. I've never been to Disneyland. For folks who have not been to either or any Disney place at all, what is the allure? Why is Disneyland this place that, because there's a lot of kids your age and younger and people of all ages that are obsessed with Disneyland. Mm-hmm. What is so cool about it?
The thing that's so cool to me, especially at Disneyland, because I haven't been to Disney World or any of the other ones, but Disneyland, it's one person's idea. Yeah, he had other ideas too, but it's one person's thought process just one day, and it's a huge park, and it's something that's amazing because you walk in and you hear the music that goes with the park. You have the smells because of the smellitizers that go with the place that you're in and the smells that you want to smell. And then you have garbage cans like every, I think it's like 5 steps or something like that.
What?
Or 10 steps. So that's why it's always so clean on the ground. Because Walt Disney did not want it to be dirty. He wanted everything to be clean. That's why they don't sell gum, is so there's not gum on the ground. And the fact that he's able to create rides and they do now that immerse you into this world, especially I haven't seen Galaxy's Edge yet. I haven't gone there, but to be immersed in this whole new planet is what they're supposed to, it's supposed to feel like. But that is just so cool to me that you can just go there and just be immersed in a whole new area.
So that eighth grade trip, would you say that's the moment that you realized I might want to work for this company in the future?
Yeah, that was definitely the moment, because I was like, oh, I got this. I planned where we would be going each day in the park. And then one of the days, we were all wearing the same shirt. Because my grandpa bought the tickets for us to go. And it said, we're with this guy. And it had my grandpa's face on it and Mickey Thumbs, like, pointing at him. And somebody thought it was Bernie Sanders, but that's besides the point. We were early in the morning, and this lady comes up to us and is like, so my job today, if you don't mind me telling you guys, and we're like, no, we don't. And they're like, is to find somebody or a group of people that all have some cool shirts and that match. And I'm supposed to take them around wherever they'd like to go in Fantasyland into the front of the lines.
What? And so you guys scored. That's awesome.
Yeah, so we got escorted into all of the Fantasyland rides into the front of the line. And that job, I was like, something like that, just to make people's day. Because I know I was super excited. Like, to make somebody's day just amazing, that's something I want to do. And wherever that is in the Disney company, that's where I'm headed.
I talk with my students a lot about stress management, and I'm really interested in, like, hearing how students have figured out ways to navigate high school, because high school is so stressful. It's just inherently stressful. Are there any things that you've learned? You're a junior now. Are there any things you've learned over the last couple of years about stress management that you think, if a student is listening to this show, they might benefit from hearing?
Yeah, there's a bunch of things that I do, as well as the organization that I just became a part of, Oregon Association of Student Council. We're doing the hashtag Work to Be Well campaign, which is I hashtag Work to Be Well by singing in my car when I go to school. Like, it's just anything that you do that's mentally helpful and healthy for your brain, I guess.
So you guys are trying to share what you personally do to just take a breather and be well. And then is the hope that teenagers can search for that hashtag, right, and just see what everybody does?
Yeah, so see what everybody does. And there are ways that you can do that as well. They're working with Providence to try to spread the word even more, as well as the Oregon Youth Line. They have a youth line for kids. I think it's between, like, 3 or 4 p.m. to 10 p.m., and you can talk to, it's like the suicide hotline, but for students, and it's all about mental health. Like, you can text them any of your problems and stuff. So that has been helpful for me, both with that and the Work to Be Well stuff, just knowing what I need to do to keep my mental health and stress levels low, because I do get stressed out a lot because I'm doing a lot of activities. So it's good to know that there are other things out there.
She had a more prepared answer than I think any other teenager has ever had. I think that's whenever you ask anybody, at least that I know, and you ask them about how they're managing stress, they just aren't. They don't. At least I don't.
Or I feel like a lot of teenagers will make a joke about how I'm not. It's crushing me. You know, yeah. They'll kind of jokingly say something like that. But I think it's really important for people to talk openly about, well, first, that people are feeling stress and feeling anxiety and feeling these different things. I think it's really positive to be open with what people are feeling. I think if people come across something that works for them, you know, it's important to kind of share that.
Yeah.
Do you think that when you're in these moments of really intense stress and you're starting to, like, have all of these fears and stresses, like, spin out in your mind, do you do anything in those moments, like, that help you dial it back? Like, the singing in the car thing is almost like preventative maintenance, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you just do that on the way to school each day, like, okay,
yeah,
maybe you start your day a little bit better. But, like, is there anything that when it's really kind of all swirling around and you have a million things going on, what do you do in those moments to manage that?
So I have a bunch of different ones that I use, but one of them is my other at-large representative for OASC is actually one of my really, really good friends. And so I'll text her my problems, and I'll just, like, we both work back and forth with each other. So if there's something wrong, like, she'll answer the phone and we'll talk about it. There's also, I have, like, teachers at my school that I work, talk to about things, and, of course, friends at my school. And also listening to music, not just singing it, but, like, listening to calming music that helps me sleeping, making sure I get good sleep. And sometimes, like, I know this isn't the best thing, but, like, I'll go and I'll get, like, a thing of ice cream. Because I, like, not, like, a lot, but, like, I'll go to Caesar Gelato, I'll get ice cream, and then I'll go back to my work. Or I'll do, like, oh, I get one piece of candy, or I get an almond every time I do something right or get a problem right. And so if you reward yourself after, like, doing something good, then it's not as, like, oh, I have 10 pages of an essay to get done, and like, I've got 2 days to do it. I know that sounds ridiculous, but if I got one page, then I get an almond the next page just to help you out.
One almond, that's stiff.
I was trying to be healthier than just saying, like, candy.
A pint of ice cream every page.
Yeah, because I definitely work at a candy store, so
okay.
A lot of candy.
I think that's a really good point to the idea of communicating with somebody who you're close with when you're feeling stressed. I know there's so many kids that when they're feeling swamped, it's like they'll turn inward and and, you know, and just try to deal with it themselves. And I think the more people teenagers have in their life that they can have those conversations with, the better, you know. It's good to hear that you have that kind of network.
But as well as, like, sometimes you don't want to talk to people too. So sometimes I'll go to the Cove, which is a well-known spot in Seaside, and I'll just sit in there in my car, or I'll go down on the beach and actually sit on the beach, or I'll go on a hike, like, just doing something active as well. Or, you know, like, Just Dance or Zumba. Just anything active also helps. So if it's sports or anything. And that's what's been nice this year, is I've learned to appreciate the beach a lot more. Like, I haven't necessarily gone to the beach to be active at the beach. I've gone to, like, walk on the beach with my dogs, just walk with friends, walk by myself, or just sit on the beach and read a book. Like, to live in this amazing place, I took it for granted for so many years, and now I'm, like, starting to really appreciate it, which is nice.
Right before you move away.
Yeah.
Brianna Rose Boyd, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah.
Is there, before we sign off here, is there anything listeners should be aware of in terms of Seaside happenings, Seaside High School stuff, ASB stuff, anything you want to plug coming up here in the next month or two?
I don't think so. We just finished our fall play, so we'll have the musical coming up soon, and band and choir concerts are finished with, so I don't think so.
It's kind of a lull in between different times right now.
Yeah, just the fact that we're going to have a new school next year. And
it's
exciting.
That is really, really exciting. Well, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. I had a great time.
So this is the portion of the show where I offer my student perspective on our in-studio guest today. And one thing that became evident over the course of this interview with Bree was that she is extremely goal-oriented. And being goal-oriented, in this case, allows Bree to relieve stress proactively. And things like singing in the car or pacing herself when it comes to things such as homework or writing essays helps to relieve the stress or prevent the stress that she might see later in her day. And this can be seen in adulthood in things like paying bills on time. If we set goals to pay our bills on time, we won't have to deal with the stress of missed payments. And the other thing that became evident in this interview is how passionate Bree is about the things that she enjoys doing. And I can tell you right now, even though I'm just a 17-year-old, passion creates success. And I think that Bree will be very successful in her future. And I think that our listeners today, if they allow their passion to run free rein, that they will find success somewhere in their lives. And with that, I'd like to thank you all for listening. And if you happen to miss part of this episode or want to hear a previous episode, you can check us out on Coast Community Radio's podcast tab under Life Downstream and hear any show that we've done up until this point.